Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the most controversial and offensive album covers of all time. Over the decades, there have been many albums that have featured so-called offensive or controversial artwork. On this week's Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, we're going to discuss the most controversial of the controversial of all time. And also, we're going to welcome a very special guest, Hal Aaron of the Tales of the Road Warrior podcast. We got a lot of fun coming up, so stick around. Get ready to rock out with your talk out. It's the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. All right, everybody, we are back. Just like bad breath, you can't get away from us. Shout out to Wolf's Customs. There is no reason in the world, guys, for you to go out there and play the same boring looking guitar, right, Lily?
Exactly.
You know, you're going out there, you're doing your internet show. Remember, you're not allowed to play any covers now. You're getting in trouble if you play covers, but you're playing original music. You're out there rocking out. You people are scrolling through on their mobile devices. They're just going past everything. But why are they going to stop and look at your video? Because you are playing a guitar with a custom finish from Wolf's Customs. Go to wolfscustoms.online. They do amazing custom paint jobs on your guitar, bass, drum set. Right, Keith?
That's right.
They can customize your ukulele, your swinette, your didgeridoo, whatever you got. They will make it look just. I promise. So tell them Ludini sent you. Go to wolfscustoms.online. Chris Thunderwolf Dotson is the man. Also want to give a shout out.
You're going to like it.
And you're going to like it.
I knew that was coming.
Lil Pappin say you're going to like it. And shout out to Rock Rage Radio. Go to rockrageradio.com. Those folks have been hosting the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus for a couple of years now. John and Gigi, great folks over there that are very passionate about great guitar-driven rock. Check them out. You can find out more information about this craziness here by going to lulombardirocks.com. There is all kind of cool extras and information and videos and discussion and all host of all kind of cool stuff at lulombardirocks.com. Okay, so let's go around the room because we got like a really fun show tonight. We're going to be talking about controversial albums. We have, of course, from Rock Rage Radio herself, Lily V6.
Me. Oh, and stay tuned because we're going to have a lot of good interviews on my show coming up, Hot Licks with Lily 6.
Wow. Hey, Lily, why don't you share the love? Share the wealth.
Do you know who Mark Weiss is?
Yes.
Okay, well, we'll get you in contact.
Hook me up. Hook Hal up, too. And we've got Keith the Hawk Hawkins piping in all the way from New Orleans. What's up, Keith?
Good evening.
Did you stop at Sonic on the way before you started?
No, that's actually, you know what I'm drinking is something I've discovered in a Mediterranean restaurant, Lebanese tea. Lebanese tea is very tasty.
I was hoping it was a, you know, cherry limeade.
What is a Lebanese tea?
Rose water and pine nuts.
You're so full of crap.
No, that's what it is.
Is it really?
It's an interesting taste. I mean, it's definitely something when I was like, drink, I was like, wow, that's definitely interesting. And I said, can I get a refill?
Okay. Sounds crunchy.
And I did.
It sounds crunchy. Stays crunchy even in milk, doesn't it?
You just got to watch Don't Swallow the Nuts, you know?
That's what she said.
I wasn't going to go there. It was just a figure of speech. Just don't swallow the pine nuts. I should have said that. That sounds better. Don't swallow the pine nuts.
And speaking of nuts, we have we have our special guest tonight. We have Hal Aaron of Tales of the Road Warriors.
Podcast.
So Hal, welcome to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. And you're piped in from where? You're from Philadelphia. You're my neighbor, Philadelphia.
Yes.
Cool.
We got Pittsburgh on one side and Philly on the other, and then Pennsylvania in the middle.
Pennsylvania.
You people from Pennsylvania know exactly what we're talking about. Before we get into tonight's topic too far, Hal, why don't you give us like the sort of Reader's Digest version of what your podcast is all about and how folks can check it out?
Well, actually, I was just talking to you a little earlier about it. It's called Tales of the Road Warriors because a road warrior is pretty much any musician that – actually, it's not just musicians, but primarily musicians and roadies and food truck drivers, anybody who schleps their equipment in the trunk of their car and sets it up and plays to a questionable audience as questionable adventures on the road, we talk about it.
Awesome. Sounds exciting, actually.
And who's I'd on? Like to know. Do you do a show every week?
I was doing it once a week. I got a little lax after COVID-19 struck. I just partially just laziness and partially, I don't know, everybody seemed to kind of get a little. I don't even know what word would you use? That malaise that just set in over the whole country.
A lot of people are like, nothing's happened. I don't feel like it made you kind of more tired or something. Yeah,
I'm putting out like one a month now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And but I'll get back into one a week soon. I've been talking to people, setting up some things.
Cool. And how do folks find it? What's the website?
It's talesoftheroadwarriors.com. And make sure it's plural. Because The Road Warrior is a movie with Mel Gibson.
Right.
And if you got an S off the end, you're going to go to the Road Warrior website.
All right.
So Tales of the Road Warriors, and go to any podcast and search for Tales of the Road Warriors on like Libsyn or Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts.
So are you on your Spotify too?
Spotify too.
Yeah, okay, cool. Not Spotify too, Spotify also.
It sounds delicious.
If people are going like, there's a Spotify too? How do I find that?
Oh, boy.
I need that app.
I can't stand you guys.
Oh, Lord Jesus. So, controversial, offensive, overly sexualized, sexist, violent, disgusting, filthy, gnarly.
All my favorite things.
All of Lily's favorite things. Album covers. And how I like to do things, if you're new to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, yes, it is the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, but I really am lost without my right hand, Lily, and my left hand, Keith, and now my third hand.
Oh, boy. You get three hands.
We got Hal on here. So I have like a third hand growing out of my back or something. So, but Hal says he like did some real research and everything. So like, you know, cool.
Like legit.
Legit. So
I don't want to come out here unprepared and not being able to name one. So.
Well, we've all been in. None of us are like super young. Lily's the baby.
I'm the baby, but I'm not young.
So all of us have had those experiences, I'm sure, of right being in. Before we go into like the actual official lists or whatever, I just want to go around the room and have everybody name, like, because we all had this experience. We were young, we were curious about music, we were thumbing through the albums, you know, either at the record store or maybe at Kmart or someplace like that, and some record cover, like we were a kid and we saw some crazy record cover and it sort of stuck with us or affected us or maybe grossed us out. So everybody gets some. You name, Lily, what was yours?
That, I know it was Nevermind.
Nevermind with, yeah. with the baby.
With the penis. I'm like, oh my God. There's
baby wiener.
Penis.
Baby wiener. So what was yours, Hal?
Well, mine's not on the list of album covers, but the album cover was very strange. It was this man, cartoon guy, like really grizzly looking guy with a shotgun. And it was on Mercury Records. It was David Bowie's The Man Who Sold the World.
Okay. Yeah.
Which later came out on RCA with a whole different cover. But the original cover was so cartoonish and outlandish. And then I started reading the lyric on the back of Bowie songs. And that's what turned me on to Bowie back in the day. The Man Who Sold the World, Mercury Records.
Keith, what do you got, buddy? What album cover twisted your brain around?
I think when I was young, that the album I seen first that kind of got my attention, probably before I even listened to it, would have been News of the World by Queen with
you
that robot
mine.
On it. That was just an interesting album cover. I would just stare at it for hours. Like, my uncle had a pretty decent record collection at the time. He was a huge Kiss fan, believe it or not. That didn't rub off on me. But the News of the World album cover is still really cool. I Maybe I'll stare at it later. I don't know. We'll see. But it's got my attention. You know, it was interesting with the robot holding the band members, and there was a little bit of blood. I don't know. That's not on my controversial list, but it's still an interesting album. Right, Abbey Road was another one. You know, Another one was Abbey Road, with just, you know, just that them crossing the way there, and just that, like, that look of that album cover, and Sgt. Pepper too, but those are the ones that
captured your imagination. Was News of the World for me. That was I was real little, and I just had graduated. I was at an age where I was like kind of losing interest in toys, you know, and I was getting kind of interested in music a little bit. And I was, my mom was shopping at Kmart, and I would leave the toy aisle, and I would go to the album aisle, and I saw that record, and it freaked me out. I was afraid to even pick it up, because, like, I just thought that robot was so scary, and those guys were, like, bleeding, and it obviously killed those guys. I was like, I had nightmares over that. Like, it's a great
Stewie
album.
From Family Guy.
And we talked one time about great album covers, and I think that came up on our list as, like, one of the greatest album covers of all time. But, yeah, that traumatized me. So if you want to know what's wrong with me, it was News of the World by...
That's what's wrong with you. That explains it all.
Not by Kiss. Kiss. So, okay, let's
remember, Molly Hatchet always had great album covers. Today's always they'd suck you in with those dudes on horses, and they got friggin' axes.
What's
and
that
all.
Artist?
Molly Hatchet had some great album covers too. I mean,
do you know that artist that did the Molly Hatchet album covers? He did a lot of fantasy covers for fantasy novels and stuff too. You guys know who that was?
No, I don't.
No, we'll look it up later. So let's go. Let's start. We'll start with the new guy, our guest here. We'll start with Hal.
And we're pressure.
Well, there's no pressure. But tell us about, let's go around the room here. We'll start with Hal. We'll go to Keith. We'll do Lily. That sounded awesome. I love when I say
that. That's the first time anyone has ever said that.
But so what do you, in terms of, like, controversial, twisted around, offensive, what do you got on your list?
Well, I guess since I'm the old guy here, I'd be remiss not to bring up the Beatles' Yesterday and Today album with the famous Butcher.
Of course.
That's also on my list.
And then posing with slabs of raw meat and dismembered, decapitated baby doll heads. And for the Beatles, that was kind of strange. And especially if you listen to the music on that album, it included Yesterday and Nowhere Man, like really beautiful songs.
Yeah.
If you lied, what the album cover would lead you to think was, you know, on the disc.
Is there a story behind that?
Yes, I actually have a story behind that. They were sort of tired. They were just doing like an impromptu sort of photo shoot, and they wanted to do something different. They were tired of the old way that they were just doing the same thing over and over again. So they experimented with the blood and the coats and the baby doll heads, and wasn't actually intended for anything. But apparently Paul McCartney pushed and pushed and pushed for this to be on an album, and it ended up on an album. Doesn't make sense, but oh, it was sort of their comment to the Vietnam War too, because they were very anti.
Now that makes some sense, because that makes total fucking total freaking sense.
I have one thing I can add about that. Sure. I was curious. John Lennon's personal copy has sold for $233,511, according to New Music Express, which is a British music website. Third highest price ever paid for a vinyl recording.
Wow.
Well, there were only 750,000 of them made, but about 90% of those were sent back. So if you find one, you're very lucky to have it, because there aren't many out there.
Yeah, they changed the cover.
Yeah, they had to change. They were forced to change it. Most of the covers were sent back and destroyed. So if you find one, you're very fortunate to have it.
Yeah, there's photos of it and stuff online. My experience with this album cover was I was raised in a very conservative Christian family, and we had a lot of people that come to our church and our school. I was a Christian school that, like, talked about the evils of rock music, and the preachers loved to show this album cover. This is what the Beatles are really about. You think that that's all you want to hold your hand and stuff? Oh no, you know, they want to chop up babies. And
that song was originally called "I Want to Hold Your Hand," and in parentheses it said Satan. They were big into that shit. Don't let them fool you. That squeaky clean image, horse shit. They had to change a lot of the names of those songs to just, you know, appease the record company. I want to hold your hand, Satan. Let it be, Satan. Stuff like that.
It's been a hard day. They were
always at odds with the church. John Lennon didn't do, you know, endear the church to them when he said, "We're bigger than Jesus," you know, to the reporters.
They never forgave the Beatles for that.
No.
But so let's that's a great one, Hal. Thank you. Keith, what do you got on your list, buddy?
I'm going to go kind of like a little bit tame at this for the start, because I've seen this one on every list and I looked at it. I don't really get the hype, but it came out in 1969. So what are you going to do? It's a Blind Faith first record. Has a naked girl on it.
A young naked
girl. Looks a little young though. So yeah. I can see the problem.
Yeah, I think that was the issue with that, is because she is so young. I mean, in today's world, with QAnon and everything, man, that would be like, whoa, like, you know, there'd be like investigations and shit.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
When that came out, I was a teenager, and I didn't really see the problem with it then, because, you know, I was dating girls not much older than her. But in retrospect, I could see, like, a parent would lose their
freaking
shit
out over
that. He was, like, 11 or 13 years old, like prepubescent. Not just a young girl, but way young.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to get too graphic about it, but she does look like she might be just kind of coming into womanhood
right.
on that cover.
Yeah.
And what's with the airplane?
It was from a car.
The hood ornament, yeah, that's what I thought it was.
Ah, thanks.
That was a hood ornament from a car.
Okay, so that was a hood ornament. Okay. We're gonna let that go because I could go to all kind of places about the symbolism there. So we're just gonna let's move on. Lily, what do you got?
We'll just take it one further with that prepubescent girl thing with Scorpion's Virgin Killer, which was the first one I thought of for this podcast in 1976. It's got a naked prepubescent girl on the front, but in her vag area is cracked glass, so that's what's covering that, and then her breasts are out. But her pose along with the name of the album made it notorious for what it was, and I don't even know if did they change that. I'm sure they did, right?
Probably. It probably had to change in some places. You would see like a lot of these like little notes on some of these albums were like it was banned in this country, but this country made a change. That, you know, so it's a whole to do with that. You know,
yes,
so.
The replacement album cover. Because, okay, I will admit, as a young person, I had heard about that album. Again, this was one of those records that the preachers would talk about. And so I went looking for it in National Record Mart. Who here remembers National Record Mart? And it's there. And you could find the record, but the cover was different. Mm-hmm. The cover is just them standing like, yeah.
Okay.
Like, you know, like kind of like in a huddle or something
on the
cover. There's no like, yeah, that was all redacted.
Yeah.
And if you look at it, if you look for it online, like on the articles I look for, both this cover and the Blind Faith cover they have the black thing that says censored across the sensitive parts of the photo. So apparently it still makes folks uncomfortable.
I find that the Scorpion album cover more disturbing than the Blind Faith, just because of the way it's posed. It's very disturbing.
And I think she looks younger than the one on the lady on the Blind Faith album. She just, I don't know. She looks even younger than maybe like 14.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to talk about Virgin Killer. Put that all together with that image, and that's just like really wrong.
Just wrong. Hey, they were German. What can you say? The European, it's a whole different thing over there.
They have different
Did
rules.
You guys see? There's a television show. And I don't know what European country it's in, but. They like the children ask questions of the adults. It's on regular TV, and adults strip down naked, and the kids like ask the adults questions.
Nope, didn't know that was a thing.
That's like a thing.
Oh, you're watching, man.
It's European. No, it's on. It's just like on regular European TV, and like Americans are like, you know. But
well, yeah, we freak out over everything.
Yeah, but anyways, I'm gonna get off the whole sleazy. Let's get it. We're getting a little kind of.
We're getting weird.
We're going wrong.
Well, I wanted to get the weird stuff out first.
We're just getting started, and the podcast is already going down the shitter.
We got four watchers.
Just getting huge right now. They're like.
This is how we get views. Did you guys watch Cuties? Anyways.
No.
So I'm going to go off this. This is a different kind of controversy. Black Label Society, Sonic Brew, the Johnny Walker Whiskey Company issued a cease and desist order after the Black Label Society debut album came out with a cover based on the brand's Black Label Whiskey. It was later reissued with a design featuring the band's skull logo. So that was a controversial album cover. I love Black Label Society. I think it's a kick-ass band. That's controversial for kind of a different kind of reason. Not so salacious. Let's put it
that way.
That's
a great word.
Okay, that's the word for today is salacious.
I like that word.
Every time you hear the word salacious, you're supposed to go, like Pee-wee's Big
yes.
Playhouse.
Oh my gosh, I've heard that. Pee-wee Herman has come up in everything today.
I love Pee-wee Herman. Anyway, speaking of salacious, we mentioned Pee-wee Herman. But yeah, Black Label Society had to change the cover because it was almost a kind of like a copyright sort of thing. So that was a controversial sort of situation, but not as crazy as some of the other ones I'm sure that Lily, Keith, and Hal will bring up.
Oh, you know it.
So that was my pick. Let's go back to, we got, it's Hal's turn. What do you got, buddy?
I'm dragging you back to the gutter, Lou.
Oh, yes! No!
I like
Metallica, metal up your ass. Shiny blue blade being thrust up out of a toilet says it all. The
sounds
speed
delicious.
Shredding, what? I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No.
This is my notes. The speed shredding prominent throughout this album is nothing short of metal being jammed straight into your rectum and slicing through your lower intestine, upper intestine, leaving your heart in two, continuing into your esophagus and straight out your mouth, culminating in a righteous primal scream.
Mm. How's that description? Horns up for that. I got to tell you what, man. Like, I watch my diet 6 days a week pretty closely. But Sundays is I go crazy. You know, I eat all
that's your cheat day.
It's my cheat day. So Monday morning, I completely relate to that album cover because that's exactly how I feel when I'm sitting on the toilet Monday morning.
Eat hot spicy food the night before, and that's what it feels
like. I remember. Here's my memory of that album cover. It was my first class ever in college, and there was a guy, the professor, one of the guys in the class had that t-shirt on.
Oh, wow.
And the professor was like, one of the first things he did was point that cover out. He's like, what the hell's on your shirt? He says, is that one of these people that claim to play music where they just jump up and down and masturbating?
Oh, man.
Like, that's going to be an interesting class.
It's going to be good stuff.
So that's my favorite memory of that album. Oh, hell.
I'm confused on something. My kid, I would never let my kid quit at school.
Yes, Keith.
Yes, you in the back. If you could jog my memory on that, I thought that was more of just a t-shirt and a merch concept. Is that an actual album? What songs are on it? I have no idea if that's an actual album. When did it come out? What tracks are on it? I'm confused by that.
Uh-oh.
On which one?
There's an actual album called Metal Up Your Ass. I mean, that's all.
I was listening to it on YouTube. Regular.
Do you remember what tracks were on it?
Huh?
Do you remember what songs were on it?
Let me see. It's Google funny. I didn't pull it up.
While they're doing that, though, I found out who does the artwork for Molly Hatchet. It's Frank Frazetta.
Frank Frazetta
is the gentleman's name.
It was a demo.
Okay. All right, I wasn't aware of that. I just wanted to try to learn some. I know that No Life Till Leather was a demo too before they even got signed, but I didn't know where Metal Up Your Ass came in.
Yeah,
and the whole
recorded in November 29th, 1982, at the Old Ward Waldorf in San Francisco. So before Metallica was like officially releasing records, there was these cassettes that were getting. That's how they kind of built their fan base. They were passing cassettes around. And I think this is from that sort of like beginning.
Okay, here's some titles from Metal Up Your Ass. The Mechanics with an X. Phantom Lord. Jump in the Fire. Motor Breath.
Okay.
No Remorse.
This is all stuff that'd be on their first album anyway. And the Mechanics was something Dave Mustaine wrote. It sounded like the Four Horsemen. So that's pretty much, that's it. Yeah, I was just wondering. That's like definitely pre-Kill 'Em All type stuff then.
It's all right, man. We can dig deep. Digging deep is totally fine, especially when it's called metal up your ass.
Right.
What do you got, Keith?
I'm trying to get all the naked ones out of the way first, so I have one more nude one. Sorry.
You got to get it out of the way, but all right.
On this one, you're going to go back to another Beatle with his lovely wife, Yoko, and two virgins. They were naked on the front of it, so that's...
And the back.
If you ever want to just look, you know, it's, you know, anybody wants to see John Lennon's junk and, you know, Yoko Ono's fun bags, it's all good, right?
Yeah, and this was years before landscaping started. Manscaping.
Oh, for sure.
None of that.
There's none of that going on. You could brought in a Black and Decker, and that shit would have still been trouble.
And there it is.
Black Brillo pads down
there. All right. Calm down.
I've cut through 2 feet with a machete, and I'm still with it. Never mind.
Like, why did I choose this?
You guys. Hal, you're trouble, buddy. This is the last time you're ever going to be on the podcast. I promise you that. So I'm sorry, but what was the title of that again?
Two Virgins.
With Two Virgins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is known as a lie.
And they did have to sell it in a lot of places in a brown paper wrapper.
Okay, so, Lily, what do you got?
First, Chris Thunderwolf says, welcome to Hal from Wolf's Custom.
Well, Chris Thunderwolf says, welcome, Hal.
And we have Bill Damiano watching as well.
Well, you guys aren't watching the debate, huh?
That's boring. The next one on my list is Marilyn Manson. We knew he was going to make the list somewhere. And that's the Hollywood in the Shadows of the Valley of Death from 2000. Basically, the front of it is Manson is a crucified Christ with his jawbone torn off. It's pretty disgusting to look at. It was a statement on censorship and America's obsession with martyrs. A Memphis pastor threatened to go on a hunger strike unless the album was pulled from the shelves. So, surprise there.
And what happened?
I don't know. Never got the rest of that story.
He starved to death.
Probably. Unless he gave up.
Because I think at that point, censoring album covers was becoming a kind of like yawn.
Yeah, like who cares now?
The PMRC was, what, maybe 10 years before that or something, you know? We were kind of over that at that point.
Yeah. But it is pretty graphic looking to see the jaw part ripped off. It's not so much the crucifixion that freaks me out. It's the jaw gone.
It is, it's just, you know... To me, my sort of take on that is this is like, it looks like a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, so if you were, you know, so I don't
Of course,
really,
religious people were making a big stink.
I don't really understand, like, like that could be a cover of, like, just some horror movie.
Yeah.
The VHS that you would have rented at that era, and during that era. So, like, you know, but, yeah.
It's especially crazy. For the year 2000, you would think that stuff would, it's passe, like we don't care at this point.
At that point, you would think that people would be, but it is, it's in your face. I mean, it's definite. Oh, God. Okay. The one I'm going to pick next, the one I'm going to pick is Sticky Fingers by the Rolling Stones, because they sort of, even though it isn't really controversial, they sort of played it up as if it was by... Again, I believe that some of the copies were wrapped, came in the brown paper bag. It had a zipper on the cover, and with a certain special something inside the zipper that you could that certain copies had. And of course, the Stones got to do what the Stones got to do, right? You know what I mean? They got to be at the forefront of everything. So it's a great record too, though. But
I had one with the actual working zipper on it. And I always thought that was Mick's junk, but it's not. It's not Mick Jagger's. It's Andy Warhol's zipper.
Oh boy!
Oh man, jeez, dude, you know all the stuff.
I wouldn't go digging for these facts. They just like they were just there when I was doing my research. I guess I'm good at it.
Come on, the '70s, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I heard you could have bought another edition with John Holmes behind the zipper, and it was extra money though, so I don't know what happened there.
They run between $75 and $150.
Yeah.
Yeah, the John Holmes one was like $350.
I remember seeing that record in the $350. I remember seeing that record in the record store, and somebody had and have always tore open the opened up the shrink wrap and pulled down the zipper.
People are so funny.
They had to see.
Yeah.
And I think
another interesting fun fact. Don't worry, it's a good one. Songs include Sympathy for the Devil, Jigsaw Puzzle, and Street Fighting Man.
All classics.
Great songs. Great songs.
Yeah, that's great.
Too bad Mick Jagger sings them, right, Keith?
And you know, like I said, at $350 for the John Holmes edition, you get more bang for your buck, if you know what I mean.
Aha, zing.
I'm not the bad boy here now.
No, oh, goodness gracious. So, okay, we're back to Hal. What do you got, Hal?
Let's see. Where was it going to go? Well, Jane's Addiction. Nothing's Shocking. Very disturbing album cover. I wasn't even aware it existed. The cover depicts nude conjoined twins.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that one.
Something out of a freak show in the 30s or 40s. And it's by frontman Perry Farrell, who, you know what I was thinking? When I was looking into all this, the thought occurred to me that album artists must have like some unspoken thing where like they have to compete for the, you know, the most outrageous cover throughout the years, because it seems like it's a nonstop thing. There's always a new and more weird cover coming out.
Well, I think that
they strive.
That's what makes you buy.
Well, I you just said something really important. That's what makes you buy, and I think that that era, Hal and Keith, I think that because they were records, you know, and that was what 12x12, something like that.
Right.
It was fairly large. I mean, you know, it was covered your whole head, and the artwork was really considered important to selling the album.
Right.
It was considered important. I mean, I think that's the joke in the movie Spinal Tap with the black, just this plain black record.
That, none, you know, more.
No, yeah, none more black.
No more black.
That was on my list.
Is that on your list? That's great. So at the time, now today, we're all looking at these little things. We're looking at smartphones, and what's that screen? You know, even if you have a what do you have? An apple?
Yeah, I
mean,
apple.
Like, we're all, it's all about the same size. You're not really going to get the same kind of effect. So having something like that is was definitely a selling point. We get people to pick it up, go, what the hell are these guys all about? And it might be the kind of thing too that would get a DJ to give it a second look to spin it. So
I think also, that, like, doing that was, I would think too, now that you mention it, that would drive the value. If they can create an album art that's too like sensitive for the general public, to force them to like put a different sheet over it or put it on the inside, so that it becomes rare, because they stop pressing those, so there's fewer on the market. That drives the price up among collectors.
Yeah, that's a good point too. Drives the price up among collectors and builds buzz for the band. Yeah. That's a good one. I remember when that record came out too, and looking at it. But at that point, I was a lot older, and I kind of knew what they were doing. Like, ha ha, nothing shocking. Ha ha ha. I get the ironic cover. I get it. Who's now? Keith, what do you got?
I'm gonna go with a little bit easy listening with Cannibal Corpse. Cannibal Corpse, Butchered at Birth, is a album that was banned in several countries, and also was put on the list of things that are just degrading to America by the great Bob Dole. You remember Bob Dole? He's more known for falling off the stage at a debate one time than his political career. But Bob Dole did not like Cannibal Corpse, and he did not like the cover for Butchered at Birth. He was pissed at them. And several other bands he just didn't have some choice words about. Then he walked off the stage again and fell. So that's,
and then he became really good friends with Britney Spears, and they did that, what was it, Coke or Pepsi commercial?
Yeah,
it was a Super Bowl commercial.
It's probably Pepsi,
and they were in it together.
Yeah.
Lewis Black has a really funny stand up bit about that. It's how in the f does Bob Dole even know who Cannibal Corpse is?
I think somebody showed him the album cover at one of his PTA meetings. I don't know, man. He just, you know.
My list is Cannibal Corpse various albums from 1990 to 2006. That's what I
think. There's certain bands you can put every album they put out was on this list.
Oh yeah, I know this record. I had to figure out which one you exactly were talking about.
The other one is that I think is, I like the cover, but that's just, I mean, me. It's just Tomb of the Mutilated.
What is it?
Tomb of the Mutilated.
I mean, this again just looks like horror artwork. Like,
well, that's all it is.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like to me, like, I don't know. Again, we have perspective. This is 1991. you know, we've all grown up. We've all like been around the internet and seen a lot of stuff we probably don't want to see. So this is probably, we kind of just sort of take this in stride without getting too, you know, worried about it. But in 1991, you know, a rock band does something like this. I could see where people would be a little upset. But I mean, it is a obviously it's art. It's obviously some kind of paint. What is that? A painting?
Illustration.
Illustration. Yeah. It's not like actual photography.
All of their albums look like that. It's just different scenes. They probably use the same artist on that as well.
That's a fun one though, Keith. These are some really happy songs on it. Meat Hook Sodomy opens.
Oh, that's a good one.
Opens the record that followed
I'm not familiar with the tracks, but I'm sure there's a lot of like lullabies and like good loving songs on there. Matter of fact, when I think of loving songs, I think of bands like Air Supply, Cannibal Corpse, things like that.
You got to hear the titles: Meat Hook Sodomy, followed up by Gutted, Living Dissection, Under the Rotted Flesh, Covered with Sores.
That's gonna be my wedding song.
Vomit the Soul. By track 7, we get to the title track, Butchered at Birth. At number 8 is Rancid and Amputation. Mm-hmm. 9 is Innards Decay. And then 10, there's a bonus track at 10. It's a live version of Covered with Sores. So, good going, guys.
That's some good, easy listening for y'all.
No Hammer Smash Face.
I can't, you know, it's a shame Karen Carpenter wasn't still alive. She could probably do like a tribute to this album or something.
Johnny Cash could have done it.
Johnny Cash.
And he would have made it beautiful.
I want to hear Johnny Cash's secret cover of Meat Hook Sodomy. Trent Reznor probably has it in his basement somewhere.
Somewhere.
He would have monotoned the shit out of that. Just hanging by a hook. Johnny Cash, hang a bio hook.
What do you got, Lily?
This one's a religious one, Nine Lives by Aerosmith. They had to actually change the cover because this one angered a lot of Hindus. Lord Krishna was featured on the album's cover with a cat's head, replacing the original. And this is while he's dancing on the snake god Kaliya. The band and the label didn't actually know that they were doing anything wrong at the time. But of course, Hindus got involved and were like, hey, this, you're kind of like poo-pooing on our gods. Can you like stop? So there are two versions of this. The one that probably most people know is the cat on the dartboard image. But I do have both copies because I bought that when that first came out. My favorite band.
Good pick. Good pick, Lily. I like it. I'm gonna go way back. This is a band I really loved. When I was in my late teens, it was the Dead Kennedys, and they had this record called Frankenchrist. So you can tell already that they were trying to get the religious crowd kind of revved up. It wasn't initially the cover that got the San Francisco punks in trouble, but a poster distributed in the sleeve, which featured alien creator H.R. Giger's painting Penis Landscape. Frontman Jello Biafra was taken to court for distributing harmful matter to minors. While he was not convicted, his Alternative Tentacles label was brought to near bankruptcy. The Four Shriners picture on the cover also brought a suit against the band for good measure. Yes, it's got the Shriners in these little cars on the cover, and it's called Frankenchrist, and it came with this poster of penises. And people lost their minds. And I don't know. I'm just one of those people.
I'd probably frame it.
I like it when people lose their minds a little bit over stupid crap like this.
Me too. That's why I'm still on Facebook.
I'm like, yeah. We have a few friends. I did post interesting memes on Facebook, but not as interesting as the one I sent Keith. Right, Keith?
Yeah, Keith, you're going to hell.
Is that the one you sent me?
Keith said, I'm going to hell.
I'm not joking, man. I hope you really fire because it's going to be hot as hell there.
Dude,
no pun intended. I guarantee you're going to be having like sunburn.
Wait, is that the one head. You sent me today? With the rabbi?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. I didn't send Keith. I knew better than to send him that. Send okay. That to Keith. I think Keith would be speaking to me if I sent that to him.
Okay. I didn't know.
But I have a very...
I'm not a rabbi.
I have a very incorrect sense of humor.
It's great.
But I saw a rebuttal meme to what you said to me about, I hope you like flames or whatever. The meme was, it was this black dude, and he's got a big smile on his face. He's just something to the effect that, you know, you can't go to hell if you don't believe in God or something like that. I don't know. I'll have to find it. I'll send it to you. So anyway, so we have, we got some time. What you got, Hal? You're next, buddy.
Well, something just popped into my mind, and I don't know if this counts. It's even before the Beatles. This is the godfather of rap, Rudy Ray Moore.
Who?
You know who Rudy Ray Moore is?
No.
Eddie Murphy recently did a movie about him on Netflix called They Call Me Dolomite.
Oh, okay.
He went by the name Dolomite, and not just a single album, but all of them were just like, you had to like keep it, the record store owners kept it under the counter. All of had like big boob black women, you know, just hanging out all over the place, and he's always dressed like a pimp. And some of his his most famous was called Eat Out More Often.
Yeah.
Dolomite for President. This Pussy Belongs to Me. Merry Christmas, Baby. I Can't Believe I Ate the Whole Thing.
Wow.
But Rudy just had the... He originally started out just kind of like mimicking the old rap artists into jazz clubs. But then he started getting like really good players behind him. And started doing his shtick, and like he became huge. And my friend, he actually appealed to young suburban kids, white suburban kids.
Of course.
And I was one of those kids. When I was 15, my friends and I were all quoting Rudy Ray Moore. He's a cult classic.
I got to get into this guy. Eat Out More Often.
We're 12.
yes. I have not graduated 8th grade yet. I keep being held back. They keep saying I'm socially immature. That's a great one, Al. Good pick, buddy. What do you got, Hawk?
I'm going to go with a little bit more easy listening for y'all. This one is, you probably could put this spin on like all their covers on this list, but the one I've seen on a lot of lists was Slayer's Christ Illusion.
And I know why.
If you look at it, it's got, you know, got Christ on the cover, and he's missing some limbs, and he's walking, wading through blood in his bodies and shit like that. So there's a lot of anti-religious, you know, things going on that cover. But it's, I mean, Rain and Blood got a lot of crap. They got you know, that's the more of a interesting little picture of how they, you know, look at hell there, and it's just a whole lot of Slayerisms going on these covers.
yeah. You want to comment on Slayer?
I love Slayer. I don't care. I don't care what they put on their covers.
That's
why I buy it.
There's that giant mosquito.
Kill it.
That thing is huge. Look how big it is. We have a giant.
What's your killer, man? Here.
If I can get it, I will. But I have a beverage here. I can't sacrifice the beverage just to kill the mosquito. I got a beverage here, man.
You want your beverage?
Anyways, we went to the Slayers last.
Yes, I went to that. I went to that same concert twice, yeah. Pittsburgh and New York.
Yeah, and it was cool. They sounded good. I heard some kind of rumor though that one of the guys converted to Christianity. Did you guys hear any of that? No.
They always say that stuff about guys. That always. I mean, that's just. I think it's kind of ridiculous. I don't know.
Well, I know the guy from Korn did.
Yeah, he did. Oh, and what's his name? Ed.
I kind of feel like if one of them did, they wouldn't be playing still.
Yeah, I it seems odd to me too. So that could be just some. Well, we have Blackie Lawless.
Yeah, but he doesn't do a lot of those songs that we love anymore.
Yeah, he quit doing all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, anyways, Lily, what do you got?
I'm just going to talk about the one I talked about at the beginning, Nirvana's Nevermind. I had the album. I had a T-shirt with this on it. My mom didn't care because she was just like, whatever, it's music. The naked baby with his ween showing, swimming after a dollar bill. Several stores refused to carry it at first, but since it was such in high demand, the band compromised with a sticker over the penis. The sticker read, "If you're offended by this, you must be a closet pedophile," which is why I wanted to mention it in the first place, because I think that's a great rebuttal to that.
Yeah.
Did think it was weird at 12 years old to see a penis on a cover, but I'm just like, whoa.
Well, To me, the whole thing looked... I mean, I knew what they were doing. I knew they weren't doing any...
Nothing weird.
It was very obvious they weren't doing any kind of, thing like that. I mean, it was a, it was a kind of quirk. I thought it was quirky.
It was supposed to be a shocker.
Yeah.
That's all.
But I thought it was just being kind of quirky. It didn't really... But I know. Again, you got people's attention.
But I agree with you. It's more quirky than anything. I mean, parents throw their babies in the pool naked and teach them to swim. It's like, that is no... That's not a big deal. If you find that a big deal, I agree. Then you're a pedo.
Well, that's exactly what Nirvana thought, too.
Well, I agree with them.
What about... Okay, I'm going to pick another one. I'm going to pick Lily, one of Lily's favorite artists.
I almost put this on the list.
If you want to see like a really good... We should do a debate show one time.
Okay.
Alice Cooper and Kiss, Lily versus Keith.
We tried this once.
Keith hates Alice Cooper and Kiss. Lily loves Alice Cooper and Kiss. So, but I'm going to pick at this Alice Cooper thing. Alice Cooper was... still establishing himself as the king of shock rock, but his band's third album fell foul of the censors even before the stage executions and songs about necrophilia. The reason was far more juvenile. On the original cover, Alice poked a thumb through his cape to make it look like his snake, I'm making air quotes, was poking out. He had his entire arm airbrushed out for his trouble.
So he's also 12.
This is, well, come on, rock and roll.
People do this
all
the time.
Big kids, yes, and it was love it to death. According to Ray Manzarek, the whole thing with Jim Morrison whipping out his thing, it's the same thing.
Same thing.
He said that's what Jim did. He stuck his hands down his pants and stuck his finger out, and people, the audience knew what was. The people who were sitting close knew what was going on. The cops freaked out and thought it was his ween, and they arrested him.
Like, we haven't seen a penis before,
but it wasn't. He was doing that stupid joke that you do when you're 14 years old, 12 years old, whatever.
38 years old.
38 years old. 53 years old. So, I mean. I think that's a lot of what's going on here, too. Is this a sort of the... I mean, rock and roll has always been about this sort of juvenile sort of, rebelliousness. And I think that's why people that, our age, they're a little bit older, still like it, because we can kind of, go back and be a kind of, pain in the ass kid, for a song, right?
Yep.
So, we are sort of running low... on time, but we can go around the room, I think, one more time. So what do you got, Hal? You got any more?
Is it okay if I give a shout out back to Spinal Tap and Smell the Glove? Because we didn't really
go for it.
Spinal Tap was a... Did you all see Spinal Tap?
Yes.
Multiple times.
But of course.
So, yeah. So I just thought immediately about that Spinal album cover for Smell the Glove. I just thought that's insanely funny because they were mocking the kind of album covers we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The total spoof of that with the woman with the she had a dog collar and then a chain attached, and he's got the leather gloves. She's like trying to smell it. It's called Smell the Glove. I mean, it's just so ludicrous. But yeah, and then as Keith was saying, they last minute they slung it on the band that it's just an all black cover now. Like the Beatles' White Album now, it's the Spinal Tap Black Album.
Well, yeah, just like the Metallica's. I when I saw the Metallica record, I thought the first.
Well, there's a video of that when that came out. There's a video of Michael McKean and Christopher Guest doing their characters and coming into a tent like before a Metallica concert, and they were like, "Wonder where you got the idea from that?" They're like, "Look at this vision." They're messing with him. It's really funny because they're like all like David St. Hubbins, and they got the whole getup on. And they're like, in Hetfield's face, they're like, "None more black than this. Where did you get this idea from?" And they're like messing with him the whole time. It's a pretty funny bit if you ever see it.
Does Lars lose his shit? Because he always...
I don't even see him involved in it. But okay, I mean, well, which is amazing because he can't shut his trap. So.
No. I also the freaking... the when Fran Drescher If you guys don't know, Fran Drescher is in the movie. When she sort of describes it, and she's got this, she has such disgust in her voice and disdain for them. It is just precious. But she says that I believe she says that the woman is greased up, and that's even better. You know, it's sexist. What's wrong with sexy? No. Oh, it's awesome. Good pick, Hal. Good pick. What do you got, Hawk?
I'm going to go completely left field here, and I'm going to go a little hip-hop. I'm going to go with the Ghetto Boys with Bushwick Bill, the smallest dude in hip-hop history, maybe. Got shot in the friggin' eye, so I don't know how much controversial this is, more than shocking itself, because this is the actual photo of him when he got shot in the eye by his girlfriend, and his boys were taking a snapshot with him. Bushwick Bill hanging, man. Got shot in the eye and still posing for pictures. That's badass, man.
That is like that's so hardcore. That is so like, we are into it, man. Like, you know, this is an
album. I don't see metal guys doing that. Metal guys better step aside because Bushwick Bill's coming through and got a pop. Somebody popped the cap in his freaking eye and he's still rolling.
Oh my God.
Thank God, Bushwick Bill.
What's that?
Hal, did you ever see that album cover?
No, but I saw one in my research and there was a band that posed with a guy that just couldn't. Their bandmate that just committed suicide. Did you see that one?
Oh, yeah. See, that's awful. That? Yeah, I don't know. They're snapping pictures before the police and everybody got there. I've seen that one. Yeah, I forget what band it was. It was on one of them hardcore ones.
Yeah, but...
Hardcore shit.
Yeah, but yours laughing. Was a very good...
I mean, there's some... Yeah. That's like... That's... I guess... Hey, guys, I guess they are keeping it real.
You can say that. You're
a great guest, man. You fit right in. You're a great guest, buddy.
Thanks.
So, who's Lily?
I guess I'll end up with GNR, Appetite for Destruction, multi-million selling album. The original cover was What's on the Inside Now. It's the robotic rapist about to be punished by a metal avenger. Retailers refused to sell it that way. They put the one with their faces as skulls on the front, put that artwork inside so they could still have it. And there it is. And it's, you know, now the rape is hidden inside of it by a robot. So there it is. But they still have it.
It's artwork. It's not
drawing. Is what it is.
You know,
but people are so weird.
Well, I think too that what's some of this artwork, like the cannibal that and the cannibal core, that reminds me of some of those like horror comics and stuff that so I could see I see a kind of a correlation between people sort of like freaking out about that like in the 60s and 50s and stuff to this. I mean, that is just a thing. I think that people who are appealing to young people, I don't know. Right? You know, you're young and you want what's edgy and you know your parents are going to hate it. And I think that is like, I mean, did you feel that way about rock music when you were young, Hal? You were like, my parents are going to hate this, so you liked it more or something. Did you kind of have that?
My parents were very open to it.
Cool.
I grew up with The Who was billed as the loudest rock band at the time.
Okay.
And my dad bought me this huge amplifier. It was like as tall as I was, a trainer made in Canada. I'd be down there playing like Pinball Wizard and shit. And my mom would go, Hal, what's that song you're playing? And I go, Pinball Wizard by The Who. And she goes, I like that one.
Well, dude, you had pretty laid back parents, man.
I did. They were great. I could have been a drummer and they wouldn't care, probably.
My mom told me that, like, she didn't mind when I was playing drums, but when I switched to the electric guitar, she couldn't stand it.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
That's kind of surprising.
She didn't mind the drums, but she hated the electric guitar.
She knows what's up.
Yeah. I was never any kind of great drummer or anything. I played in church, so that can tell you what, you know, where I was coming from with it. You guys got any more that I'm kind of out? You guys got any more that you want to mention here at the end before we wrap up?
I noticed Diamond Dogs was on my list and nobody brought that one up. David Bowie, where he's like on the body of a dog and kind of just weird. It wasn't really that controversial.
Well, the back has animal genitals. That's why it was controversial.
Animal genitals. Yeah.
Animal penis.
That sounds like a punk band, Animal Genitals.
There's also Electric Ladyland from Jimi Hendrix with the 19 topless ladies. that Jimi Hendrix actually didn't want that to be the artwork for, but they didn't get the artwork in time, so that's what they put on there. I guess that's controversial.
What was the one you were talking about earlier with the robot?
The robot rapist?
Yeah.
No, weren't we talking about...
So that's Guns N' Roses' Appetite for Destruction, right?
Yeah.
So you were talking about another one.
We were talking about News of the World. By Queen, News of the World with the robot.
Yeah, News of the World, that's right.
Oh, okay.
But no one brought up Appetite for Destruction, which was similar like the robot rapist thing.
Yeah, no, Lily did.
Yeah, I said that.
You must.
Okay, sorry.
Dude, you smoked some good weed tonight, man. You gotta don't Bogart that stuff, man. You gotta pass that over here. Get in the car and drive from Philly. real quick.
Be right over.
Before we wrap up, you guys been listening to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Go to LudiniRockandRollCircus.com. No, don't go there. You can go there, but where I want you to go is LouLombardiRocks.com. Sorry about that. Sorry. I don't even know what my website is. Wolf's Customs.online. Get a custom paint job on your guitar. Also, don't forget to check out Rock Rage Radio. Download the app at RockRageRadio.com. Something else I wanted to mention very quickly before we get out of here today, and that is I want to give a happy birthday to Mark Farner. You guys remember Mark Farner from what band was Mark Farner from, guys?
Grand Funk Railroad.
You got a happy birthday. Right. That's right.
Happy birthday, Mark.
And this day in 1979, the Police had their very first UK number one UK a single with "Message in the Bottle."
Good stuff.
Thank God for that.
And 1984 on this day, Prince started a 2-week run at number one on the U.S. charts with "Let's Go Crazy."
I love that song.
From the amazing classic album Purple Rain, which is one of the most unequaled records of all time.
And was on the Filthy 15.
Yeah, great record. And I think that is about, I'm just taking a quick look through our this. You can guys, if you ever want to know what happened on a certain day in music, please go. Well, you might want to check out this website. It's called thisdayinmusic.com.
Duh.
So you can get, you know, I'm not making this stuff up. I'm not some kind of genius. It's called the internet. And one more here. We'll give you guys one more. Led Zeppelin. We all love Led Zeppelin. On this day in 1971, on the last night of their first ever Japanese tour, Led Zeppelin appeared at Oshka Festival Hall. Near the end of the set, the group played a medley of songs during an extended version of Whole Lotta Love, including, so they mixed Whole Lotta Love in with Let That Boy Boogie, I Gotta Know, Twist and Shout, Fortune Teller, Good Times, Bad Times, and You Shook Me. So they just kind of went off.
Went crazy.
They just went crazy. They were feeling it. So there you are, guys. You can find out more at This Day in Music. You've been listening to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Special shout out to our friend here and guest host tonight, Hal Aaron. Hal, go ahead and tell him one more time about your podcast, Tales of the Road Warriors.
Yeah, you can also order this great coffee cup off my website too. And on the back is the iconic Tales of the Road Warriors band, full of musical equipment, PA systems in there, mics, cords, everything. The band all sleeps in it. And I interview rock and roll musicians and whatnot. We talk about things that happen on the road. Some of those stories have to stay there. But I usually get them to open up, so I'm surprised what I pull out of these guys and gals.
Ooh.
Guys and gals.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, go to Tales of the Road Warriors, plural, .com. How long have you been doing this podcast, Hal?
About 2 years now.
A couple years.
The latest one on there, I don't know if you guys know who Ben Vaughn is. He's like a local DJ. He's syndicated in a lot of cities. He's a rock star on as well as a DJ. But he's very well known throughout the country. And Ben's he's a great guy.
Tell us something Ben has done that we would know.
I don't know if you'd recognize. He doesn't have any major hits, but if you go to YouTube and look for Ben Vaughn and listen to some of his songs, he's got some incredible stuff. And he plays like on his own show. He plays like some of the really obscure stuff that you've never even heard before, or you heard it so long ago you forgot the song even existed. And you're like, oh wow, I remember that.
Yeah, that's fun.
I love this guy. Ben's one of a kind.
Cool. All right. So, guys, check out Hal's podcast at talesoftheroadwarriors.com. And you can find it, just like you can find the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, on all the regular podcast outlets like Apple Music and Spotify as well. Are you on iHeartRadio, Hal?
Yeah, you can find me on iHeart, too.
Yeah, I'm not on that yet. I got to get on there. But we are getting on... We will be on Amazon soon as well. So you'll be able to go, Alexa, play the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. And Alexa will play it.
I'm still trying to get on Amazon too. I don't think I'm on it. I might be. I applied.
Yeah, I mean, there's new stuff coming out every day. But yeah, Amazon has just recently opened that up to be able to put podcasts on there so you guys can do that. So, all right, guys, thanks for hanging out. Hal, Aaron.
Thank you.
Great having you here.
Was this Chris that said hi? Welcome. I thank you for that.
Chris Thunderwolf.
Yeah, who? Anybody else listening you want to give a
shout
out?
We had Bill Damiano and Chris Thunderwolf. That was our talkers.
Everybody's probably watching the debate. You know, we know we weren't going to have too many, but, you know, it gets uploaded and everything. You guys can find it in all the podcast places. Lily, what's up? What about you? Want to plug your show?
My show's on Thursdays, Hot Licks with Lily Six on Rock Rage Radio. Download the app for free or just go to rockrageradio.com. I am having tons of interviews coming up, including Mark Weiss, who is a fantastic photographer, so check that out.
All right, and Keith, you got anything you want to mention, brother?
I'm going to be recording some stuff here, hopefully, in the next couple of weeks. Recording. Just to hopefully, maybe one of them will become a pop hit.
All right, cool. Good for you. All right, guys, you can get more information about everything we have going on at LouLombardiRocks.com. Guys, thanks for hanging out, and we'll catch you guys all on the next Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.